Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's webinar. I'm Michelle Jordan, manager of New GTLD Communications for ICANN, and I'm going to go over a few quick things before we get started. First, the webinar is being recorded. Playback will be available on the webinar page of the New GTLD microsite tomorrow, including the presentation that we go through today. We will have a question and answer period at the end of the presentation. You can ask your questions by phone or through the Adobe Connect bot. Phone questions will be given priority. Questions submitted online will be answered as time permits.
The numbers are listed on the left side of the slide right there.
You dial star 1 to get into the phone queue and star 2 to get out of the phone queue. If you experience any issues with Adobe Connect, please let us know through the questions and comments pod. A couple of things about that questions and comments pod. You will only be able to see the questions that you put in. You won't be able to see what anyone else submits in that pod. And again, questions in this pod will only be addressed as time permits. So now I'll turn it over to Vice President, GTLD Operations.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us today. We had a few facilities issues on our end, so it took us a few minutes to get online, so thank you for bearing with us. We're going to cover a lot of material today. We're going to go through our regular initial evaluation status update, talk about some of the progress in various areas, but we're also going to be covering a number of other topics of interest, including the pre-delegation testing and pilot, the Trademark Clearinghouse and other rights protection mechanisms like objections, URF. We'll be talking about the PIC spec, which hopefully everyone's been submitting, and discuss the timeline. So we'll move on to the next slide. Excellent. So here you see the progress from last month. Today's March 5th. We last had an update on February 5th, so 1 month has gone by, and you can see progress in a number of areas. Background screening we've had significant progress. The string similarity, last week we published the results of the string similarity panel. We have preliminary results from our DNS stability panel. The geographic names panel is making progress on many fronts. And then FinTech and Registry Services are moving forward. So we are still on target to meet our March 23rd date to begin releasing initial evaluation results. So we're very pleased with that. So I'll go through a few different areas. First, string similarity. As many of you, I'm sure, know, we published this information and announcements last week. There are a total of 234 contention sets, two contention sets of non-exact matches, the hotels and hotels, the unicom and unicorn sets, and then two contention sets of potential IDN variants, which are the first pair of strings represents the trader's hotel string, and the last two strings are transliterations of effectively .com. I won't attempt the pronunciation of either there. In addition to those four contention sets, we have 230 contention sets of exact match strings, total of 754 applications in those contention sets. One thing that did not go out in announcement, but we did notify the applicant last week, was for the string .mii. That string was found to be confusingly similar to .mil, so that applicant was notified last week. And although we allowed for through the guidebook, the panel did not find any indirect contention to the contention set. Moving on to the geographic names panel, here we have some preliminary results from the panels, or the geographic names panel has determined findings on in a few areas that we want to let everyone know about. We have six applicants, applications that were self-designated as geographic names, but determined by the geographic names panels not to be geographic names, meaning that they were not on the ISO list relevant to that. So you see that list there, .frl, .ift, .uq, .scot, Vegas, and Zulu. On the other side of the fence, we've got applicants who did not designate themselves as geographic names, but the work of the geographic names panel determined that they were indeed geographic names, and as they were on one of the ISO lists, as per the guidebook, .var, .tada, and .tui. So all of those applicants have been informed. What that means is that if they were found by the panel not to be a geographic name, then the panel would not need to review and verify the letters of support. However, for the applicants that were identified to be geographic names, they do need to seek letters of support from the corresponding government. So those communications have all gone out, and the work of the geographic names panel continues. Clarifying questions. So we've been very busy issuing clarifying questions on a number of fronts. For geographic names, we still have applications in evaluation. Four of those, we have 13 applications that are pending CQ responses from the applicants, meaning we're waiting for those revised letters of support to come back. So we're still in that process of issuing and receiving clarifying questions and responses. For the financial, technical, and registry services panel, we also continue to issue CQs. As of last week, we issued CQs for applications with priorities 1 through 700. There are, however, a handful of applications, primarily due to change requests that have been withheld from that list. So the vast majority of the applications in the 1 through 700 have already received their CQs. So that the applications that are being held back due to change requests, at this point we don't anticipate any impact to the ultimate release of IE results. The team is and panels are working together to continue to issue clarifying questions for 100 applications per week. For both the financial, technical, and registry service panels. Now, there was some confusion around the timing and the cutoff for responding to the clarifying questions. And I need to admit that, frankly, we probably were the cause. ICANN and the new GTLD team and our communications around this caused confusion here. We intended to communicate that CQ responses were due back to us at midnight UTC. Unfortunately, in our previous communications, we reflected that as 12 o'clock UTC. And as those of you who use UTC frequently realize, it's in military time, so 12 o'clock would be noon, not midnight. So we had some confusion. I think we've worked through those issues with any applicants that have had challenges. And going forward, we have begun issuing CQs with a deadline of 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. UTC, which at the present moment is 5 p.m. in Pacific time for us here in the ICANN LA office. So that follow the messaging in your CQs and the tasks that you receive through the TAS system. We're not going back and changing deadlines for CQs which have already been issued, but the CQs going forward have the revised deadline. Responding to clarifying questions. I want to make sure everyone understands that we need applicants to answer all CQs. And to provide all requested support documentation. Otherwise, there is the potential that the application could fail initial evaluation. So the CQs are fairly specific. They're asking for specific information being requested. Please address all issues. There is no need to submit a change request when you're responding to the clarifying questions. And the responses to your clarifying questions should be submitted in TAS, in the TAS system, by the due date and that UTC time as we just discussed. Moving on from initial evaluation, we've got the statistics from our customer service center. Our customer service center is very involved in supporting the entire initial evaluation process. We're getting lots of clarifying questions back on the CQs. We're getting questions from applicants on how to respond. So we have a lot of volume, but we are turning these around as rapidly as possible. I hope that all of you are feeling as though your cases are being responded to on a timely basis. We're making every effort when an email comes in from an applicant. Please let us know what application you're referring to. We look to the person submitting the question, and when they are a primary or secondary contact, we do correlate that to the applications, so we put a priority on responding to those cases. So in case you're not the primary or secondary contact, please let us know what application you're contacting us about, and that'll help us respond in the most timely manner. Next. So, next we're going to cover pre-delegation testing. Last week, we launched a new page on the microsite, and I guess we've also created a new acronym, pre-delegation testing. Now we refer to it as PDT, and there's a corresponding page on the microsite. There's a lot of information on the microsite that is going to help applicants prepare for pre-delegation testing, including test descriptions, templates, as well as examples of what you'll need to provide to participate in the pre-delegation testing and pilot. We also have information there specifically on the pre-delegation testing point of contact and the responsibilities of that individual. We're looking for someone who's knowledgeable in the applicant's registry services as well as the technical infrastructure so that they can support the pre-delegation testing both in pilot mode and ultimately in the production pre-del testing. As we had announced last month, we are going to be holding a pre-delegation testing pilot. Applicants should have received an email last week notifying them about the ability to sign up for the pre-del testing pilot. We're accepting those registrations, if you will, that sign up through March 8th, which is this Friday. And then next week, Monday through Wednesday, we'll be selecting applicants to participate in the pilot and notifying you via email. We're looking to get moving on the pre-del testing pilots very quickly. We're looking for the applicants who we identify and who are willing to participate to be ready to submit their data and the requested documentation and information between March 13th and March 19th, and the actual live testing will occur between March 20th and April 5th. The intention is that we will be selecting applicants from different registry service providers. So it's really to help us test the pre-delegation testing system, So we appreciate you volunteering to help us in that effort. Moving on to the trademark clearinghouse. Deloitte, as many of you know, is running our trademark validation service. And on the Deloitte site for the Trademark Clearinghouse, they have now published the API specifications for the automated interface. We have also published the Trademark Clearinghouse guidelines that happened in the last week, as well as the fee structures, which have been out there for a while. Deloitte has added a few webinars. They're holding webinars with interested parties to explain the services they provide, the verification service, and their interface for rights holders. They've got four upcoming webinars, at least two of which I believe they may be running out of space in some of these, but they've added webinars. So there should be registration spots available there. We recognize that there are still a couple of items that are pending to be published. One is the terms of use, and the other being the dispute resolution procedures around the Trademark Clearinghouse. All future information, although we will continue to publish announcements on the ICANN and the new GTLD microsite, you can also go to the Deloitte website, the trademark-clearinghouse.com site, for more information. Here you see a timeline of some of the highlights around the Trademark Clearinghouse. So on the top of the arrow, you see a few dates related to the data submission and verification portion of the Trademark Clearinghouse, which is the first portion of the service to go live. Starting on the 12th of March, Deloitte will launch a testing site. So for anyone interested in participating and utilizing the automated interface, that API upload, that will be available for testing by Deloitte starting the 12th of March. And then we are now working towards a launch date of the 26th of March for the Trademark Clearinghouse Verification Services. And that is a date that Deloitte has committed to. On the Sunrise and Claims side, we are also looking to publish the technical specifications around Sunrise and Claims on March 12th. And then more of the detailed Sunrise and Claims requirements specifically for registries, as are mentioned in Spec 7, that will be published before Beijing, and I don't yet have a date on that. So I know there's been some uncertainty around the exact launch date of the Trademark Clearinghouse. We announced this last week, the date of March 26th, so rights holders will be able to submit their trademark data there. On the database side, we have engaged with IBM. They will be managing the centralized Trademark Clearinghouse database, which includes support for the Sunrise and Claim services. They will be operating that on behalf of ICANN, and that is expected to be delivered in Q2. Moving on to objections. The objection filing period closes on March 13th, 2359-59 UTC. I want to make sure everyone appreciates that only the filing fees are due at the time of filing. Those are in the range of 2,000 to 5,000 euros in terms of filing fees. The panel, expert panel fees, are due later, at a later date, depending on each of the dispute resolution service providers' processes. But the barrier to entry to submit the objection is is just the 2,000 to 5,000 euro filing fee. The DRSPs have asked that we remind everyone that the objection portion, the objection content is limited to 5,000 words or 20 pages, but that restriction excludes the administrative portion of the filing. So it's the 5,000 word, 20 page limit on content plus the administrative filing form. They've also asked, because they get a lot of questions, objections may only address one application. They can only be submitted by one objector and be based on one grounds for objection. After the close of the objection period, ICANN will formally announce all of the filed objections. That's currently scheduled for mid-April. After the announcement, after ICANN makes that announcement, the applicants will receive notice of objections from the relevant dispute resolution service providers. From that notice of objection from the DRSPs, applicants will have 30 days to respond once that notification is received. If a response is not filed by the applicant, the objector will prevail by default. So it's incumbent upon the applicant to respond to the filing. And if you have any further questions, please go to the objection dispute resolution page. The link is there on the ICANN.org site. URS. I've been saying for a while now that we had identified a provider for the URS. We've now signed the agreement and announced that the National Arbitration Forum has been appointed and selected as the first URS provider. We are continuing to work with additional service providers as they become available and to become potential providers for the URS. URS procedures and rules are posted on the URS page of the microsite. We will also be publishing a redline version. There were a few minor changes this week to the procedures, so we are going to be publishing a redline version, so those modifications will be clearly called out. Public interest commitment. So the PIC submission deadline has now technically passed, although my team is still working and will be receiving and posting any PICs that we continue to receive. The intention behind the March 5th deadline and publishing these and posting these tomorrow by March 6th is to allow 30 days for public review as well as 30 days for the GAC to review these PIC specifications prior to the Beijing meeting. That is really the driver behind what led us to the March 5th date. ICANN staff was pleased to have been invited to participate in the Registry Services Group call yesterday, and we most definitely heard the concerns that were raised on that call. We also heard a number of questions that came up around the PIC specification. So we've attempted to respond to some of those questions, and we've published an updated FAQ based on that response, and the link is there. So hopefully that will address some of the outstanding questions on PIC specs. If anyone has additional questions about the PIC specification, please send them to newgtld@icann.org, and we are making those a very high priority to respond to. And so you are all aware the comment period on the PIC proposal closed on February 26th, but the reply period for public comment is open until the 20th of March. Here you see an overall timeline. This is now on the microsite as well. Clarifying questions going out through mid-May. That's not changed. The objection period, filing period, closing March 13th. That's unchanged. The contention sets were published last week. We're on track for the pre-delegation testing pilot and the initial evaluation results. You see that the Trademark Clearinghouse system launch is listed there as 26th of March. We are anticipating GAAP advice while we are in the Beijing meeting or shortly thereafter. Upon return from Beijing, we will begin the contract acceptance process with our applicants who have successfully proceeded through initial evaluation, and then we are prepared to begin pre-delegation testing with those applicants who have signed an agreement on April 22nd. I apologize. So we are announcing our next webinar, which is scheduled for the 26th of March. And I know that's only in 3 weeks, but we're planning to hold a webinar in advance of the Beijing meeting for those of you who are unable to participate and attend in Beijing. We will be going over another initial evaluation update and status, talk about the pre-delegation testing and pilot, as well as some of the other activities. It's going to be a busy 3 weeks, and by March 26th, we'll have posted our first initial evaluation results, so there should be a lot to discuss. So that's the end of our presentation on this side. We covered a lot of material. I'm sure we have some questions. I think the operator, we have someone on the phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press the star followed by the 2. And if you are using speaker equipment, please lift your handset before making your selection. And our first question comes from the line of Jeffrey Yukas from Demand Media. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. It's Jeff Eckhouse here. I had a question regarding the dispute resolution providers, the announcements. I believe based on the slide, it had said mid-April that ICANN would be making the announcement. I wanted to know, is that going to be the first time the applicants will know that there was an objection filed with the providers, because I believe in the guidebook it states that the dispute resolution providers would publish the objections as they are filed. So I'm trying to figure out, will the applicants still have to wait until mid-April, or will they know from the dispute resolution providers as they are filed, which I'm assuming would happen, you know, in the next couple of days? Thank you.
Jeff, great question. You are correct that you will not have to wait, that the objections will be published on the websites of the dispute resolution service providers upon receipt of the filing and the funding of that objection filing. So those you should be made aware of. The mid-April date is the date in which ICANN will have collected all of the filing information and confirm that with all service providers, and we'll be formally publishing that. That date then triggers the 30-day, the subsequent 30-day window for applicants to respond to the objections. That's what that meant, but it won't be a big secret.
Got it. Okay, thank you for that clarification. Very helpful.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Charles Gomes from Verzen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina, for a good presentation. I noticed that the start of pre-delegation testing is set for April 22nd, and ICANN has targeted the delegation of the first string for April 23rd. That doesn't seem to jive.
So the new GTLD program does not delegate. As you know, that is, as the applicant goes through the new GTLD program process, the April 23rd date, which has been discussed and publicized, the concept would be that would be the date that ICANN would execute the registry agreement with any applicants that have accepted their agreements starting April 15th.
So it's not a delegation date, it's a start of negotiation.
So it's a recommendation. What we're saying is that by signing the registry agreement with the applicant, that ICANN anticipates that the applicant would successfully proceed through pre-delegation testing and would be recommended for delegation, so that the applicant can then take that executed agreement April 23rd and seek delegation through the IANA process.
So is it fair to assume that the negotiations of the agreement would have occurred before April 22nd when the pre-delegation testing would occur?
So the pre-delegation testing is starting on April 22nd after contract acceptance. So we had discussed previously, I think since Toronto, we've been talking about processing applications in kind of weekly tranches. So as any applicants who sign the registry agreement the week of April 15th will then be eligible based on their priority number to proceed to pre-delegation testing if they so choose and they are ready for it, as early as April 22nd.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
That's helpful.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Donna Austin from ARI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Christine, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Hi. Christine, I have a number of questions in relation to the PICSPEC FAQ that was issued yesterday?
Yes.
So I understand, you know, it's a general comment. It's a little bit late in the process, but I just have some specific questions. Can you tell me what the distinction between a public review process is and a public comments process? And in the context of the PICSPECs, because my assumption is that a public review is that the PICSPECs will be posted, people could look at them, they won't be providing comments. So can you just confirm that that's actually the case?
Okay, so that's the first question. Do you have others, Donna?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You want me to go through the other questions before
sure,
you
answer? Sure, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So the other one relates to... why will the late submission of a voluntary PIC specification delay the processing of an application? Now, that's what I've gleaned from the answer in relation to what if an applicant wants to submit a PIC spec after 5 March. The answer in the FAQ seems to indicate that if you submit a voluntary PIC spec after 5 March, then it may delay the processing of your application.
Okay, yep, understood.
The third one, there's the response to how can applicants be expected to sign the PIC DRP if they haven't yet seen it. So I just thought that the first statement is no applicant is bound by the PIC DRP until it signs the registry agreement. I think it's a little bit disingenuous to state that, given that all applicants who wish to obtain a DLT have to sign a registry agreement. Or forego the, you know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars investment that they've made. So that's more a statement than a question. It's just that statement seems rather disingenuous to me.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
and I've got just one last question, and this is in relation to how will the change process work if an applicant changes its fix spec? So how? So it suggests that a change request may change an application. So I'll just ask my question in relation to what you've provided as a response to that question. So how will this work if an applicant has passed initial evaluation? A change request has a specific meaning within the context of the new GTLD process. A change to the PIC spec is not a change to an application. So the PIC spec is voluntary and meant to reinforce commitments already made in an application and outline new commitments if the applicant wishes to do so. Any change to the PIC spec should not be at the discretion of the applicant and not be subject to ICANN scrutiny. So I just don't understand the connection between why a change to the to a PIC spec would mean a change to a an application. So that's my questions.
Okay. Well, let me start at the top. The first question was public review versus public comment period.
Yeah.
So as we publish information, papers, policy issues, et cetera, we post them for public comment. There's a very specific
yes, I'm aware of the process, Christine.
So the that process is the public comment process. The public review process is the process by which all applications have been following. All applications have been out for public review and have the community has been able to make application comments throughout any time since the applications were published last June. So the review of those comments and application comments, anything submitted by September 26th was rolled into our initial evaluation process from the beginning. Anything subsequent to that has still been looked at and considered as possible by the panel. So this PIC spec being posted for public review, it as in so much as it clarifies the exact commitments that the applicant is making in light of their application, is it becomes part of the application and is there for public review. So that that same application comment mechanism is available to the community.
Can actually post comments on a PIC spec. And the PIC spec actually forms part of the application once it's submitted.
Correct.
I think that's news. I'm not sure, but I think it's news.
So, the, I mean, there were applicants who thought everything in their application was a commitment. So, this is, we're being very clear in letting everyone know that it's exactly what is in the PIC is the public interest commitment. So that is the public review and what's the reason that it's there for public review, as is any portion of the application. So then why would a late submission delay processing? So as I mentioned in the presentation, the timing around the March 5th deadline was really driven by the desire to allow a 30-day public review period, as well as to allow 30 days for the GAC to have an opportunity to review these public interest commitments in the hopes potentially of addressing any issues raised through the GAC early warning process or to avoid the necessity for GAC advice on an application. So that 30-day window, if PIC specs are submitted next week or next month, the expectation is that we will need, we intend to allow 30 days for that same public review to occur for those public interest commitments. we anticipate that the GAC will need at least the same 30 days, but we're not attempting to speak for the GAC. So they will follow their own process in reviewing public interest commitments. Then the final question was, how will the change process work if the applicant changes the PIC specification? So for the same reason, if the applicant is changing what they're committing to, that could require, we're not going to judge whether it's significant or insignificant. As we do with all change requests for applications, we post those out, and they're available there for public review and comment for 30 days.
So, Christine, just one kind of follow-up question, because I hadn't understood that if you submit a PIC spec, that now becomes part of your application. I thought we were talking about the PIC spec becomes part of your registry agreement, not part of your application. So if the PIC spec is indeed out for public comment, who takes advantage of those comments? So will it be considered as part of the evaluation process or the objection process?
So Donna, your point that the PIC specification does become part of the registry agreement, you're absolutely correct there. In terms of being part of the application, I think what I intended to say is that it's clarifying which portions of the application are being committed to specifically. If the PIC spec is not being evaluated in the initial evaluation or even an extended evaluation process, it's not that ICANN is looking at that specifically. Now, if the commitments made in the PIC specification contradict or imply something different than what has already been submitted in the application, then a specific applicant may need to issue a change request to change their application to conform with the public interest commitment. Is that clear, Donna?
Vera, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Yasmin Omir from ARI Registry Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, Christine. I just wanted to ask what criteria will be used to select participants for the pre-delegation testing pilot. In a previous webinar, ACRIM mentioned that it would be based on business model diversity, where a high number of applicants opted in for the pre-del pilot. If that's the case, then does this relate to diversity in the domain and life cycle, or what exactly does what exactly do you mean by business model diversity? Thank you.
So, in terms of business model diversity, that's not criteria we're looking at. What we are looking for is diversity of registry service providers. So we're looking to cover as many different technical platforms, if you will, and push applicants with different registry service providers through the pilot. So we intend to randomly select the amongst the submitted applications. But we do not intend to select more than one applicant with the same back-end registry service provider.
Thanks, Christine. I just had one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
Just wanted to follow up on Akron's response to the Registry Stakeholder Group letter on GTLD implementation issues. We're just seeking just some dates of when certain things will be done by. So specifically in relation to the process for the selection of, for the approval of data escrow agents by ICANN, the Akron's letter made mention of the fact that the process will be published shortly. In the Registry Stakeholder Group letter, we stress that the urgency of this request. So just wanting some dates of when this will be published and how, please.
Yasmin, we understand the urgency of the selection of data escrow agents. I've seen those materials. My team is actually working this week to get the application process published so that we can begin the effort to identify and accredit the data escrow agents. So we understand it's critical. So that we anticipate that happening this week.
And will that be published on the new GTLD microsite?
Sorry? Say again?
Sorry, will that be published on the new GTLD microsite?
Yes, it will.
Okay, great. Thanks, Christine.
Sure.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Lillian Fosters from Sirwin's Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi. For the pre-delegation testing pilot program, who should be the point of contact? Should it be the technical back-end provider, or should it be from the applicant as the primary contact?
So if you go to the microsite and you go to the pre-delegation testing page, it gives some more detail on the exact skill set and needs for the ideal pre-delegation testing point of contact. That may indeed be someone from your registry, from your service provider. It depends on the applicant.
And just as a follow-up, for when it is actually pre-delegation testing, if an applicant has a different back-end, it's not the actual applicant, it's the back-end provider, will, in the testing process, the testers be in contact with the applicant or the actual back-end provider? Since ICANN is limited communication to the primary contact on the application.
Sure. We will be requesting specific contacts. I believe we're going to be asking for two contacts, technical contacts, for the pre-delegation testing from each applicant. My team is telling me one. So we will be looking for an additional point of contact, understanding that the existing primary, secondary contacts are business contacts. So we do anticipate having an additional contact person for pre-del testing.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Jack Newman from Newstar. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Jeff Newman. So I asked three questions in the chat, but I wasn't or in the question box, but I wasn't sure I'd get through. So I'll ask them here now. So the first question, and Christine, let me know if you want me to ask. If you want to ask all of them or just stop after one. The first one is, when will the specifications for the pre-delegation testing be provided, both to those participating in the pilot as well as to the community? And then I guess the real main question is, what exactly is being tested?
Okay. That's number one. Go ahead.
So, I know there's stuff in the guidebook as to what ICANN is supposed to test, but I think we need, a lot more specifics as to what's tested. The second one is just a question of, you had said that the IBM database is not, quote, expected to be delivered until Q2. So initially it was January, then February, then March, now Q2. Q2, which could be anywhere from April through the end of June. If ICANN is still planning to delegate or recommend for delegation something in the route on April 23rd, I think was the date, you know, we need a little bit more background on what it means to be delivered, when it's going to be open for testing, how long we'll have to test. You know, it's not very good, you know, or what good is it, I should say, to have to recommend something for delegation if it really can't be used because you can't do a sunrise. So, you know, a little bit more. And on that same note, I think a few webinars ago and every webinar since, there was a discussion of posting the agreement between ICANN and IBM and also sharing the fees with what we as registries are going to be asked to be paid. So when will ICANN announce those proposed fees? What kind of public review will be done on those fees? So if you can answer those questions. Sorry, I lost audio. You guys still there?
Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. So the first question, when will the specs for PDT be published? So the technical specs will be published on the microsite within 2 weeks. There are 6 elements to the technical specifications around DNS, who is, the EPP, IDNs, and data escrow, and then additional technical documentation. There are some instructions in the link on the PDT page and information on data submission and templates there, but the final, the specifications, at least the draft specifications will be published in the next 2 weeks prior to the pilot. We'll go through the pilot, and then if there are any modifications to those specifications, we would publish that before April 22nd. But we anticipate, you know, there could be learnings from the pilot that might force us to consider changes to the technical specifications. So as soon as we have that information, we would certainly publish it.
Can I, as a follow-up just to that, because I'll ask you the same question that my technical guys asked me today, is, if you're not going to post the specs even for the pilot participants with 2 weeks, then how could you actually expect to test them in that same 2 weeks? They kind of were scratching their heads going, you know, I'm assuming we apply and I'm assuming we're randomly selected, but they, which is not a safe assumption necessarily, but they don't know how they're going to be tested if the specs are posted in 2 weeks and then you expect to test on that same day or a day later.
You know, just let me get some more details and get back to you on that. I what you're saying seems reasonable. With testing to begin on the 13th, it would seem that there. I know that the initial part of the pilot and pre-delegation testing is an exchange of documentation. But I can get back to you on specific dates on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm showing no further questions.
I'm sorry. I hadn't answered Jeff's all of his questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Jeff, you're there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So there are data specifications that are out on the microsite. So the exact test specifications, how the test is going to be executed isn't there, but the data specifications are on the microsite. So hopefully that's a starting point for your team. Going on to number 2, the IBM centralized database. There's kind of 2 aspects to that. One, the centralized database for ICANN is the repository of all verified marks. And then when will the system be available for some claims? And we're working with IBM and the providers to ensure that the timeline is aligned with the rest of our timeline, the April contracting, pre-del testing, et cetera. So I don't have exact dates for you at this time, but we're working to, we expect those to be aligned with the other portions of the program.
Sorry, just on that, when you say aligned, so I understand it'll be aligned to ICANN's timeline as far as what you're ready, but, I mean, registries will need usually at least weeks, if not a month or more, to test with the clearinghouse, and registrars are going to need to test as well. It just, as you can understand, it kind of worries us when we say it's not expected to be delivered to ICANN until Q2, which, you know, could be anywhere up through the end of June, but then a month or two for testing with the registries and registrars, which means realistically you probably couldn't have a launch of any TLD until Q3. So
Jeff, I think this warrants further conversation around the testing with the registries, registrars. So let me take this offline and see if I can get some more information be prepared to have a more fully formed conversation on this.
Thank you. And the last question was on the fees.
Yep, on the fees. So I know that's something we're still working to finalize with IBM so we can get approval to publish something. As soon as we can get approval on that, then we will certainly publish that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
And there are no further questions in the queue at this time. You may continue.
So I think we're going to start taking some questions that were submitted to the chat pod. Ask the questions from the chat.
Okay. I think there's a new caller on the line. So.
Okay. Sorry, operator, do we have a caller?
Yes, we just got a question in the queue from the line of Tina Bam, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, Christine, this is Tina. I'm not really a private investor. I am a personal individual, though. I'm not sure what that came from, but anyways, I have two questions for you, and one I already posted in the question and comments pod online. Before that, I had a follow-up on the questions from Donna. And I just didn't quite get, I think, a complete answer in one of her questions, or I didn't understand it. In terms of the comments that are provided from the public on PIC statements that are posted, are those comments going to be evaluated by ICANN staff then? I mean, I don't really care much about whether they belong to the application or the registry agreement. To me, that's sort of, it's not a very big difference for me with that, but I would like to know if they're going to be evaluated by ICANN staff and what you're going to do with that evaluation of those comments received. And the second question is in relation to clarifying questions. In case that we have not provided sufficient reply to a clarifying questions, because maybe it would be it's been difficult to understand completely what was asked for and so forth, will there be another follow-up question from the evaluator or a back-and-forth opportunity for us, or will the application just fail and we'll just be told you failed?
So Tina, the first question, the comments on the PIC and the PIC being posted, and will it be evaluated by staff? So the intention is that the PIC will be posted for public review by objectors, the GAC, et cetera. It's not the intention for us to evaluate the statements in the PIC and the commitments in the PIC as part of initial evaluation. if
right, but somebody, would make a determination of whether this is a significant change to an application or not, and if it is, it needs to go into a change request, right? So who makes that determination, and how, you know, what's, is there any public opportunity to participate in that, or how, you know, how are you going to go about that?
So, you know, in so much as much of the application is public already, and the public interest commitments will be public, one, the ICANN community has the opportunity to review that and, of course, comment on whether these commitments substantially differ from what is in the application. And, you know, if that, you know, if that is the case, you know, I'm sure it would, it could raise a level of attention. But right now we are not building it into, we haven't built it into a process.
Okay, but somebody needs to make the determination, right? Is it going to need to initiate a change request, or is it not needing a change request? I mean, somebody makes that determination, and I assume that's ICANN staff, but I don't know. That's the question. Would that be ICANN staff, or is there someone else who's going to do that?
So, Tina, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So the PIC is intended to be monitored and disputed through the PIC dispute resolution process, which I know the next question will be, but you have to define that. So yes.
Yeah.
So which we are in the process of working to define. So that would be the mechanism by which we would look to enforce the commitments made through the PIC. The expectation is, Tina, that the commitments in the PIC are aligned with the application and are not substantially in conflict with the application. If the commitments being made contradict and make any portion of the application invalid, then the applicant would be expected to submit the change request that to reflect that if that were a substantial change.
Okay, and so ICANN, well, are you, you'll ask through the TAS or something, please submit a change request, because your submitted PIC statement is a significant change. Or can that only happen when the dispute resolution process for the PIC statements is available?
So at this, you know, it's incumbent upon the applicants to ensure that the commitments they're making are in the PIC are aligned with their application. And if it's changing their application, then that, you know, needs to be handled through this change request process. So I'd like to move on to your other question about CQs.
Okay.
So you were asking, about timing there? Sorry, I didn't.
I was asking in case that we have not provided a sufficient reply to an issued CQ. Yeah, is there a follow-up option, or have, you know, there's a couple of items that sometimes can be hard to understand from the evaluator, and I just wonder if it's a complete fail or if there is a follow-up communication that takes place.
So, understood. We don't have a mechanism built in for a back and forth within the initial evaluation process. And the sheer volume of CQs and the work with the panels just prevents that and has limited that from being feasible from the beginning. So there is not a back and forth. If if you feel as though you did not fully answer the clarifying question as submitted, applicants do have the ability to submit a change request after their clarifying question to potentially augment a response. But unfortunately, the initial evaluation timeline and process does not allow for that back and forth type of dialogue. So it wouldn't necessarily be an outright failure. The potential would be for the application to be eligible for extended evaluation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. Yeah, sure. It's just in a case where the question was not clear. We have one instance of that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
I think
we have a few more questions on the audio side. From the line, a follow-up from Yasmin Omir from ARI Registry. Please go ahead.
Hi, Christine. Just a quick question on URS. Where do we direct specific questions regarding the implementation of URS by registry operators?
Where would you submit questions about it?
Yeah, so if we have specific questions on the implementation of URS by registry operators, where would we direct those?
Yeah, you can submit them to the new GTLD at ICANN.org. So we'll handle all requests through the our customer service email line.
Okay, great. Also, one more thing on the TMCH. Just wanted to echo the concerns raised by Jeff regarding the TMCH tech specs. And we also wanted to emphasize just how critical it is for registry operators to get these tech specs. Also, when you say that the information will be provided offline, are we able to get a time frame of when this information will be obtained and how it will be communicated?
I'm sorry, Yasmin, were you talking about technical specifications for pre-delegation testing? I misheard you. I wrote down trademark clearinghouse.
No, sorry, I did mean for the trademark clearinghouse. So I just wanted to echo the concerns raised by Jeff Newman regarding the...
Did
you get my question or did you want me to repeat that?
No,
but I guess that it's about...
You're breaking up just a little bit. Could you repeat the question?
Sure. So I just wanted to echo the concerns raised by Jeff Newman regarding the Trademark Clearinghouse tech specs, and also want to emphasize just how critical it is for registry operators to ensure that we have these tech specs. And also, when you say that the information will be provided offline, can we get a time frame on when this information will be obtained and how exactly it will be communicated? Please. Did you get that, Christine?
So, I heard you. You were echoing Jeff's interest in the technical specifications around Sunrise and claims.
Correct.
Is correct. So, again, as I mentioned in the slides, that is intended to be published before Beijing. The team is working on this. I mean, there are many, many calls every week and a lot of manpower going into this effort. So, let me commit to get you an update in 2 weeks. So today is the 5th. That would be the 19th. Hopefully by then we'll have a clearer timeline between now and Beijing. And if we have more specific dates in the meantime, we would publish that. We would announce that. We would publish the technical specifications. So, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, and we have a follow-up question from Lillian Fosters from Salem's Partners. Please go ahead.
When will ICANN announce the final RPM policy for new GTLDs, meaning when will we know if the straw man solution as posted will be implemented in new GTLDs?
So the straw man proposal was posted for public comment. That closed a few weeks ago. We have done analysis. Staff has done an analysis of those comments. We also solicited feedback from the GNSO, which we received last week. And we anticipate posting an analysis of the public comments as well as the feedback from the GNSO this week.
And as a follow-up, will that analysis include a final, you know, decision of what RPMs will actually be required in new GTLDs, or will it just be an analysis of the public comments? And if so, when should we expect the actual announcement of what RPMs will be required?
So it will communicate the next steps on the straw man proposal, and then the milestone that is on my slide that just says before Beijing, the full Sunrise claims requirements for registries as per Spec 7, that would be the full RPM policy and specifications. So that is the critical date there.
Wait, which state did you say, Christine, please?
So what I just told Yasmin, that I would provide her with an update by the 19th, which is exactly when that the full RPM policy, all of the Sunrise and claims requirements for registries would be published. And on the slide deck I went over, is that on the Adobe Connect? You just, okay. The before Beijing that I don't have a date for, So we need to get to a date, and I will have an update. We'll communicate something by the 19th.
So there is a possibility that the Trademark Clearinghouse will be open for data, you know, trademark verification, but the actual straw man may not be finalized and announced. Since there's, you know, a one-week window from the date you're saying we'll have the information.
So the straw man proposal and evaluation of the public comments and the GNSO feedback, that will be published this week. So that's March 8th. This before Beijing milestone, it's a much broader scope. It's not just the straw man. It's the full Sunrise and claims requirements and policy and specifications. So that would be coming before Beijing, and I don't have a date for you on that as of yet.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a question from the line of Michael Page from Pharos Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Christine. I have a two-part question. The first is, can you provide an update on the eBro selection and implementation process? And the second part of the question is, will that be part of the critical path? Will ICANN allow new GTLDs to go live before the eBro is in place?
You know what, Michael? I know work is progressing very rapidly. Uh-oh. I think we've got a bad line there. The progress is being made on the selection of eBro providers. I expect that will be announced in the next week to 10 days, if not sooner, frankly. I think that will be in place, and that will be in place by the time the first TLD is ready to go live. So I'm quite confident in the timeline there. Thank you for that question.
Thank you. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions. You may continue.
Okay. So now Trang Nguyen will be going through the chat queue for questions that did not get asked.
Okay. I'm just gonna skip over the questions that have already been asked on the phone. The first question is, if all the CQs have been adequately addressed, does that mean that the application will pass initial evaluation?
If the CQs were adequately addressed, I don't know that an applicant would get the feedback as to whether that was adequate or not. But that would be the intention.
Okay, thank you. We have a couple of questions with regards to is it possible to have a draft of the registry TMCH contract in advance?
Draft of the registry TMCH contract.
Do we know that?
That's definitely in the works. You know, the terms of use that the registry would agree to with IBM as the provider there. Yes, we would want to get that out in advance. I don't have a date on that, but I'll add that to the list.
Thank you, Christine. A question about objections. If you think that there is a string that is confusing with yours, do you need to object against every applicant to make sure you hit the one that may eventually win? In other words, what happens if there's a string similarity objection against one specific application in a contention set, and then that application is withdrawn? Is the objector's application still in a contention set with the remaining applications in the original contention set?
Oh, boy. That's a good question that I don't know the answer to. So let's do the research on that and then publish something. Out to the microsite.
Okay. Should I move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Next question from Jim Prendergast. When would the PIC-DRP process be finalized?
When will the PIC-DRP process be finalized? So we're working on that. I don't have my project plan in front of me. I need to follow up on the exact date for that.
Okay. Next question. When will the selections of the EBOs be announced?
We kind of covered that. I said in the next week to 10 days is my understanding.
Okay.
So anything else that's in the queue there that we don't have answers to, I already said that we'd get back in 2 weeks with answers to some of the other questions. So we can add any of these other items to the list.
Mm-hmm. Shall I go ahead with the next question? Okay. There's a question that says, I note that contract negotiations has suddenly become contract acceptance. Is there a justification for this?
So the intention there is to indicate the kind of the shortest path to move through the pipeline. So assuming that applicants choose to accept the standard agreement, then they would move through faster. If they wish to negotiate the standard agreement, then they will go offline and they'll go through a negotiation process. So that would not be the fastest path towards delegation.
Okay, thank you. There's a question about GAC advice. Has the GAC given ICANN board or staff any reason for failing to make its previous self-announced deadline for indicating which apps were going to be the subject of GAC advice? If not, could you please answer? Has the GAC given ICANN board or staff any reasons for failing to make its previous self-announced deadline? So has ICANN any indication that it would miss it?
Uh-huh. We can't really speak on behalf of the GAC, so that would really have to be posed to them. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. The question: what is the delegation process and the anticipated time frame between contract execution and delegation into the REIT? I understand this would involve IANA and TIA and VeriSign.
So, yes. Yeah. So that person is correct. I'm sure that we have some white papers written around the delegation process. I'm sure IANA has some materials. Let's see if we can get some of that pulled together. I don't want to speak for IANA and what their process is. Certainly on the new GTLD program side, the applicant has to go through contracting and successfully proceed through pre-delegation testing, could take several weeks. So after that, then they would proceed to the IANA process, through the IANA process. So let's see if we can find some information or someplace on the website to point them to, Michelle. I think we just got a couple more minutes here.
I have only two more questions in the
okay.
chat. One from Dennis. Is the new CQ response time effective for the 1 o'clock UTC time applied to current CQs already issued?
We just started the new 1 o'clock last week.
Correct.
So
up to the 600.
Yeah, so through the 600 applications with priority numbers 1 through 600, it's the old, what we intended to be midnight UTC time applies. And then from application 601 and beyond, the revised 1 o'clock UTC will apply to all clarified questions going forward.
And when in doubt, the actual due date and time is indicated on the application dashboard and tab.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And last question from Jeff Newman. What are the next steps for registry agreement?
So the registry agreement is... I think I said in my slides, it's the public comment period is completed, but we are now in the reply period, which is open until March 20th. Staff will be doing an analysis and summary of public comments for the board, and for the board to take action anticipated in Beijing. So those are the next steps from the staff perspective. So thank you. We have one more. So any other questions we have, we can let's capture them and respond to them in a written format. I will take these questions that we had as open. We will get back to folks by the 19th I committed. And again, if as always, if you have specific questions, please feel free to contact us through the customer service center, newdtld@icann.org. So thank you all for participating. We'll talk to you in 3 weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude our conference for today, and we thank you all for your participation. And at this time, you may now disconnect.